I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. About a year ago, a fight broke out outside Rockdale County High School in Conyers, Georgia. A Conyers police officer approached and fired his taser. Both students instantly dropped to the ground. There was an amateur video recording made, and in it you can hear the popping sound from the taser. That incident at Rockdale County High School was the second within 3 years that involved a taser. It was also one of more than 80 cases over the past 5 years nationwide of school-based police officers using tasers on K-12 students. They were tracked for a recent story from the Huffington Post and the Hessinger Report, which is a nonprofit news agency that covers education. Joining me from New York is Rebecca Klein. She's the education editor at the Huffington Post and worked on that story. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you. Rebecca, how difficult was it to get this information? Because as I understand it, schools don't actually collect the information and or make it public.
Yeah, so basically the only way that we were able to get this information, which I might add, we believe is a gross underestimation that there's likely many, many more cases of this happening that we are just unaware of. We tracked local news reports of this happening since September 2011, but that is dreadfully unsystematic.
Right. In other words, in order for you to find it, it had to have been reported somewhere in a paper or on TV.
Exactly. Right.
So why do you think that this is a gross underestimation of the number of incidents?
So police officers who are based in school are the ones who are tasering students. So oftentimes a school isn't tracking how often it's happening. That information is collected by the local police department, which employs these school-based police officers. And they don't differentiate between when this happens on the street to an adult versus when this happens to a child in school. So all that information is likely lumped together for a local police department. So that means that there aren't individual schools tracking how often this is happening in their own schools. States aren't tracking it, and the federal government isn't tracking it. So we really have no idea what the actual number is.
So is there any standard that requires a school to keep track? Or I assume there are standards that say a school has to notify a parent when this has occurred.
Yeah, so I would assume that a school has to notify a parent when this occurs, when their child is being taken to the hospital, things of that nature. But there's no standard that says they have to track how often uses of force are being used against their students.
Let me bring Ziyan Tseng into this conversation. He's a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Hi, Ziyan.
Hi, good morning. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you. Can you explain what happens to a human body when it's hit by a taser?
Yeah, so first, for your listeners to understand, a taser can be deployed in two ways. One is can be shot from a distance where the barbs are deployed and can contact the subject from a distance of about 6 feet. And then there's what's called drive stun, where the taser is applied directly to the skin. There is a very real, albeit small, risk of cardiac arrest with a taser application, which a way to think about it is a controlled electrocution, where you're applying these pulses of 50,000 volts of electricity directly to the body, and the current from the taser can directly overtake the heart rhythm and cause cardiac arrest in certain situations.
Is it similar to the technology used for, say, paddles in a hospital to restart someone's heart?
It is, in a simplistic fashion, it is, but you're applying direct current, whereas for defibrillation pads, it's a very controlled timing of the electricity at a precise moment in the cycle of the heart to restart it. But you can think of a defibrillator as potentially an antidote to a cardiac arrest that might be caused by a taser.
But the manufacturer of these tasers, almost all the tasers are manufactured by Taser International. Zian, the manufacturer does not recommend their use on children. Why does it matter whether you're using a taser on a child or an adult?
Yes, it's a good question. So as I mentioned, for the taser to overtake the heart rhythm and cause cardiac arrest, the current has to reach the heart. And in a child, of course, the distance between the chest wall to the heart is much smaller than in an adult. For that matter, in a small person, such as a petite woman, would also be at higher risk for a taser-induced cardiac arrest. For that reason, and for I'm sure your other experts might discuss this as well. Taser applications on children are to be avoided.
Rebecca, in your analysis of statistics from the Department of Education, you found that 17% of public schools have equipped security personnel with tasers. Is that accurate?
Yeah, as of 2010.
Which is a rise from the years before.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do schools? Why are more schools buying them? Why are they equipping more of their security personnel with them? And why do they say they need them?
So I can assume that that's because tasers have become increasingly popular for police departments in general. As I said earlier, the police officers who are in school are oftentimes just regular police officers, and this is just where they're assigned to be. So they carry all the same weapons that they would if they were in any other place or community on the street. A vast, vast majority nowadays of police departments have electroshock weapons like tasers, and they just carry them over into the schools.
We would love to hear from our listeners on how you feel about the deployment of tasers against kids in K through 12 schools. You can tweet us at OST Talk. You can also join the conversation on Facebook. My guests are Rebecca Klein, education editor at The Huffington Post. Jian Sang is a cardiologist and electrophysiologist at the University of California, San Francisco. And let's welcome David Osher to the conversation, vice president and institute fellow of the American Institutes for Research. Hi, David.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
So Zian was talking about the medical, the physiological effects of a taser on a kid's body. What do we know about the emotional effects of a kid after they've been tased at school?
Well, what we know from the few studies that have been done is the fact that it has a traumatic effect on some young people. They can feel overwhelmed, and that can lead to emotional debilitation. It can increase levels of anxiety. And at the same time, it can actually affect cognitive functioning as well, at least for the short run. And that's not surprising, because when you're anxious, we also know that it affects things like working memory.
How might it affect trust between a child and their teacher and their administrators at the school?
Yeah. Everybody responds differently, but at the same time, both for young people who are tased as well as some of the young people who see others being tased, that it can really affect trust of adults. It can affect trust of people in authority. It can affect trust of the environment, all of which can then really affect whether or not people can engage in the learning process and whether or not they can engage in school.
Rebecca, for the incidents that you found, and again, there were 84 in the past 5 years or so, what were the reasons why the child was tased? What was the infraction that the kid had, I guess, committed before they got tased?
It ran the gamut. It could be students engaging in a physical altercation. It could be students talking back to their teachers and being unruly. It could be students putting their hands on a school-based police officer. It could be students who were resisting police officer who was trying to suspend them or something of that nature. It really varied.
And Zian, I read comments from police officers saying that tasers in the end make things safer. That's something I absolutely understand coming from when it's involving two adults. But I want to play this clip from one officer explaining why they use them. And again, he's not talking about schools. He's talking about a regular police officer out in the adult world.
The taser has proven to be a tremendous tool because the officer and the suspect, neither are usually injured. You're not depending just on size and strength in order to arrest someone. Even a small statured officer against a larger individual can still have the taser as a tool to use to gain compliance.
So that sounds like they're saying that a taser will keep everybody safer in the adult world. How does that translate into a world where you're dealing with maybe a kid who's 60 pounds?
Well, I think nobody is denying that a taser is, safer than a gun, for example. But the lack of recognition of the potential for cardiac arrest, a lethal outcome with a taser, is where its deployment, its use becomes haphazard or, more. The regulations for its use become looser, and that's when tragedies happen. So for a younger person, a smaller person, as I mentioned, it's a higher risk because that current can reach the heart more directly and cause cardiac arrest. I might also mention that there could be underlying medical conditions that the child has, such as asthma or epilepsy or a heart condition that would raise the risk for a potentially traumatic outcome. So it doesn't directly translate to a child. And secondly, I think first and foremost should always be the recognition that a taser could be potentially lethal. And I've advocated that any police agencies using the taser should be trained in CPR or defibrillation, automatic external defibrillators, to resuscitate somebody should they have a cardiac arrest from a taser.
You mean even an adult?
Yes. I think that's very pragmatic policy. It's wise, and police are often the first responders to medical emergency anyway, so it'd end up saving lives in that situation as well.
David, you told me a little bit about the effects that could be on the kid that gets tased, but what about other kids that see the incident? Is there also a possibility of trauma there?
Sure. Just like any other time that people see issues of violence, some people can be traumatized by it. Also, some people can be re-traumatized by it. And that can all, and there are potential issues of historical trauma as well, re-traumatization. If you're a young person of color and it looks like young people of color are being tased, that may raise all sorts of other issues as well. And I think it's important to, if I can add, understand that unlike being on the street, students are in school under compulsory education. And schools are communities in which you're trying to, enable people to learn together and work together. And the unnecessary use of weaponry, even non-lethal weaponry, unless, life is at risk, is an invasion.
And I should say that in the Huffington Post reporting, they describe incidents in which kids were shocked by a taser for mouthing off, for trying to run from the principal's office, and for getting into fights. Rebecca, you guys have documented that the use of tasers is on the rise. What kind of training do officers get before they're deployed with a taser?
So I can't really speak to how police officers train, how police departments train police officers in general to work with tasers. But what we do know is that it doesn't seem that they're getting any additional training on what that means for being in a school and working with children. So whatever training that they get for dealing with street people on the street, hardened criminals, is likely also being applied to dealing with potentially young middle school students.
We have about a minute left, Rebecca. What are your next questions? It almost feels, when I read this piece, as though this is the beginning of investigation, not the end. What questions do you still need to have answered?
Yeah, so we really want to get a better sense of how often this is happening and who it's happening to. We don't know for certain if there's certain groups of students who are being tased more often. We don't really know if schools are doing anything to prevent this. And we don't really know if anyone's going to start tracking this. So we're really curious to see if we can get any more information on who this is happening to, where it's happening, what type of school it's happening in, and more of the why it's happening.
That is Rebecca Klein, education editor at The Huffington Post. David Osher is the vice president and institute fellow of the American Institutes for Research. And Zian Tseng is a cardiologist and electrophysiologist at the University of California, San Francisco. Thanks so much to all three of you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
This is a subject on which we would love to hear your opinions or experiences, if that's something that you have. Do you think schools should have access, or school resource officers should have access to tasers, and should they use them on students when the situation dictates? Call us and give us your thoughts on this. It's 404-500-9457 if you want to leave a message. We're also on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can post to Facebook as well. A fight between large students is a safety issue, says Sam Burnham on Twitter. That threatens the learning environment of kids more than taser to stop the fight. And then Vince Brown says cops and security should just go back to using batons, jujitsu, and bullets in high schools where students are as big as they are. What do you think? Send us your thoughts. For today, that's on Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great day.